Good morning. I got to be honest, that is a hard act to follow. I mean, between worship, baby dedication, the small group testimony, I'm a little humbled, quite honestly, by God's presence this morning. As a matter of fact, so much so, I had like a witty beginning to start with, and I'm going to scrap it because I'm just completely humbled by God's presence right now. You know, this was a tough message for me to prepare, mostly because God's been doing so much work. You know, you get into the end of the year, and you spend some time looking backwards, kind of checking out the year, looking forward, okay, and kind of gauging a direction. And especially over the past few months, God's really shown me, dude, you got some work to do in your life. You have some things you need to work on. You put on a big, good facade, but man, we got some inside things that you need to let me change. And I'd already been going through that, and then Alex, you know, we kind of communicate on, okay, what message series are we working on? What's the message? What direction are we going to go as a church? And so when we discussed this morning, I started digging into Romans 12 is where we'll be today. And it was hard. It was hard. And I had a hard time putting the message together. And I'm struggling with, why am I having so much trouble with this? It's because I had so many internal struggles as I was, God was bringing me back to some foundational things, the things that matter. And I had to shed all the extra pounds, if you will, and that you can take that as many ways as you want. And doing it, and when you have that going on, part of you wants to avoid it, doesn't it? You know, God's trying to do business with you, and you're trying to avoid it. And I kind of got lost in, let's teach specifically through Romans 12, where we're at, 1 and 2, instead of really looking at what God was doing in my own life. So here's the gig with this morning. God's teaching me some lessons really deep right now and doing some deep work. You guys, so this morning's message is to Mickey, and my prayer is I'm not alone in this journey as we struggle through this in the new year of realigning ourselves, of giving in to the transformation that God has for us. So my prayer is that I don't ramble, because that's kind of where it goes sometimes when it gets this personal. You have the tendency to just kind of go off a little bit, but we're not going to do that. So if you want to open up your Bibles to Romans 12, we're going to kind of just start off there. And again, I had some witty anecdotals, at least I thought so. They probably weren't, so we're probably better that we just scrapped them. But we're going to jump right in, and we're looking at 972 with the Bibles in front of you. If you don't have a Bible at home, or if you don't have a contemporary version, you like the way this reads, you're able to understand it well, take it home. Happy New Year, gift, that type of thing. So Romans 12, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. When I first came to Christ, Romans was by far my favorite book. I could spend hours and days just reading the wisdom found in the book. You know, chapters 1 through 11 really outline some key foundational things to our faith, some doctrines, if you will. And so in that, I had accepted Christ, but, you know, I was new to this whole thing. I had maybe practiced religion for a while, but I never studied scripture, you know. So it's not like I started with this great foundation. It's like I accepted Christ and the mercies he brought onto my life and then kind of learned from there. And so Romans was near and dear to my heart. And then we get to the first 11 chapters as he's outlining this. Chapter 12 is kind of the transitional time now. So Paul's kind of, he's writing now, and we get this transformation from, okay, here's the doctrine, and here's what grace means. And then chapter 12 starts over, okay, so what's that mean in your life? And that's why you get the word, you know, like therefore, you know, therefore, you're since all this is true, all this is true about the nature of Christ, the grace that God's imposed upon your life, that you have freedom found in what how Christ died for us and how we're resurrected with him and that we are saved through him. You know, since that is true, this should be the application of your life. And one of the parts I love about this, and part of the reason I had trouble preparing this message is it's these two verses, if you read it, it is packed full of things that are awesome to meditate on. You know, we have things of being a living sacrifice. You know, you can meditate, what's that mean to be a living sacrifice? And we're going to hit on that. What's this lifestyle of worship that's being discussed? You know, these are some huge categories. To renew your mind, to be transformed, what's that mean? We're going to be spending time there, but there's so much there. But I wanted to hone in on what's it like to have a lifestyle of worship. And the reason I want to hone in there is it's what's most important to me. You know what? I find in my life I can put on a good mask. I can come here, I can prepare a good message. I can study and I can communicate what Scripture says. I can go through the motions really well, and I can probably trick you into believing that everything's okay inside of me. And quite honestly, when I was preparing today's message, that was kind of where I was going at first, is to show you, hey, I know what this means. And what God's been showing me, and really even through worship this morning, what God's bringing me to is just because you know it doesn't make it everything all right. Knowledge is such a small part. Mickey, you need to return back to a place where your whole life is pleasing to me. Not just a few actions, just not that you go to church and you play a leadership role. That doesn't make me better, worse, anything else. If anything, it does make me worse, actually. You know, to put on a facade that everything's cool and look at me, look at the spiritual leader I am. No, you're a wreck inside, Mickey. You got things you need to deal with in your life. You need to return to a point that you're worshiping me with everything you have. You need to return to the point that you were when you sought me with everything you have, that you questioned everything about who I am in your life and how I impact your life. Now, I remember, and when I preached one of the first times here, I wrote a thing. It was called Live the Revolution, Embracing a Lifestyle of Radical Glory. And it was a writing I sat down and did out of my own need, because I started studying Scripture, looking not as much at what Christ said, but what he did. And I implore you, study Scripture that way. Read through the New Testament and read and look for the things Christ did, not just what he said, who he was. And what you see in the things he did, and not just what he said, is the things that he was passionate about. And from that came this writing of this is the lifestyle I want to have. One that is pleasing to God, because really isn't Christ the example that was given to us? Isn't that the end game for us, to be just like Christ? So I was looking at this, and I saw unity was important to him. You know, one of his last prayers before, you know, he ascended to heaven and went to the cross was, you know what? Unify. Unify all of us. You know, he prayed for the disciples, and then he said that those that believe because of the disciples that you know, make them one as we are one, Father. And so we see unity was important. Love, obviously, is important. The greatest of all commandments. Multiplication. And that's a big one for me, that I'm to reproduce myself. That not the bad parts of me, hopefully, but the parts that are seeking after Christ, the passions that God has given me, I'm to reproduce myself. That was important to Christ. We see that. So this morning's message is, man, I need to come back to being transformed. It's that I need to come back to a place where everything I do has an eternal purpose. You know, when we were working on Nexus, and we still are. It was an easy thing for me to say, and a true thing for me to say, I cook out of worship. For me, to cook and worship God is equivalent to a singer, to Jeremy and the team being up here and being able to sing. You don't want me doing that, by the way. You know, my students used to tell me there's nothing worshipful about you singing, Mickey. Very true. But I can cook. That's my worship. But it shouldn't just be there. What about in balancing my checkbook? You know, you heard them talking about Financial Peace University. Shouldn't balancing my checkbook and paying my bills, shouldn't that be an act of worship? What about when I'm at work? What about when I'm practicing discipline at work? I have to call someone to my office. Shouldn't that be an act of worship and how I season even something like that with grace and with love? With my children, the ones that know how to push all my buttons, especially Nathan, you guys know. I think everyone here knows well enough. Even if you're visitors, he was the madman running around. He presses my buttons. He knows it well. I think he learned from me because I did that to my parents. But in disciplining them and loving them and raising them, shouldn't that be an act of worship? See, this thing of worship comes from something, and it's something that's touched on in the scripture of being transformed. Christ transformed us. See, becoming a follower of Christ, you know, there's a lot out there that, hey, just say a prayer and mean it from your heart, and you're a follower of Christ. I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure I buy into that. I think that's more like making an engagement, asking someone to marry you. Because what follows, it what shows the dedication that was in those words. Did you allow that love to transform you from the inside out? Did you make changes in your life? And not just you make changes, but did you allow that love that you're now, this love relationship you're entering into, do you allow it to transform you? Let me be honest. When we got married, Kylie and I had to make concessions in my life. And even when I learned that, man, I wasn't loving her properly, I had to make a lot more concessions. And I say concessions like it's a bad thing, like, oh, you lost part of you. I didn't lose anything that shouldn't have been gone anyway. You know, I parts of me that were messing with me and not giving me a fruitful life, that's what left. That kept me from experiencing a life full of love, mutual love. Those are the things that left. It's not a bad thing. The same was true when I came to Christ and I entered into that love relationship. Some things have to leave that get in the way of experiencing that love. It transforms you. You know, we should be able to look on someone that prayed the prayer and looking into their life and see, are they a follower of Christ? You know, you're here this morning and you might say, remember the time you accepted Christ and say, this is the time. And you should be able to be able to look at a time in your life that, man, this is when it happened. This is when Christ, man, I encountered him. Encountering Christ is like encountering a freight train. You cannot do it for real and it not transform you. If I'm crossing the tracks and I encounter a freight train, I'm going to be changed. I don't care what you say, it's going to change me. How much larger is the love of Christ? It's going to change you. So you might look at that time, but let me ask you, does your neighbor know you're a Christian? Not by what you say, but how you live. Do your fellow employees know you're a follower of Christ? Or at least know there's something radically different about you, that you handle situations differently. You know, a couple weeks ago, I lost it at work. I was screaming, and it's not something I do. And I'm not happy I got that angry. I'm not proud of it. I think that the reason for the anger was justified, but the outflow of it was totally ugly. And here's what and no one would speak to me the rest of the day. And they looked at me the next morning. They said, "Mickey, you scared us." And that was actually a good thing, because as we continued the discussion, they said, they follow through with, "We never see that in you. You just take things, and you." They basically said, "I always give them love and grace, even when bad situations are happening. I take it with a grain of salt. We move on to the next thing." That I lost my temper and showed anger, unrighteous anger like that, scared them, and they thought it was out of context. They happen to all know that I'm a believer, and so that's something I can look in and, well, I hate the circumstance of what happened. I can look at the contrast and say, you know what? There's something cool in my life that's not the norm. Now, I still have to address why that came out, because here's what I know. Nothing can ever come out of you that's not already in you. You know, the whole thing of he made me mad. No, he didn't. You were already mad. He just did something that brought that out in you. This act of spiritually and living in a worship manner, you can't fake it, peeps. You can't fake it. Nothing can come out of you that isn't already in you. So, like, I'm in this new year thing, looking back, looking forward, and I'm looking in and saying, I need to fill up. I gotta fill up on Christ. I'm not nearly full enough. And when I pour out, I'm not pouring out heavy enough. Why? Is it because I'm not putting enough effort when I pour out? No, because I'm not putting enough effort into filling myself up prior to pouring out. And it hurts to sit up here and say that. And the fear is that I'm going to sit in judgment of my peers. And in part, rightfully so. As well I should. You know, biblically I'm taught, man, I'm going to be treated a lot more harshly, that I'm going to be judged by God a little bit more because of my role within the church, within his church. But at the same time, I know I'm not alone. And today's invitation is no different than ever, man. I'm on a journey towards Christ, and it's a messy one. The reason, you know, I said I wrote that thing of live the revolution, the reason I use the revolution is because I, in my life at least, it is a bloody battle every day between my flesh, between the old Mickey, the one that didn't know Christ, and this new one, this new transformed Mickey. Every day it's a battle. And if I don't personally, with my mind, my heart, and my soul, engage in that battle, the flesh wins. I have to join in the battle Christ is doing within me. I have to make that conscious effort to equip myself for the battle that's going on so that I can be transformed. That's what renewing of your mind is. Engaging in the battle. It's bittersweet at times. Because when I look back on the past, just like any other battle, you see the wounds. And you question, what could have I done? It's cool stuff. But I want to jump into what happens and what God's view is when we're worshiping from the flesh. It's not really worship. It's not. We can sing all we want. We can go and serve the homeless. We can come to Sunday morning service. We can go to our Bible study groups. We can put on the fake smile. We can do a lot of things, but that alone is not worship. Jump over to me, if you will, to Amos. You're going to find it in 781. It's a cool little book. I recommend it highly. I recommend the whole thing highly, quite honestly. It's kind of an odd. I recommend this book highly. The whole book is good. The wise one. Anyway. We're gonna be looking at verses 21 here. And God's saying this to the Israelites. I hate all your show and pretense. The hypocrisy of your religion, festivals, and solemn assemblies. I will not accept your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I won't even notice all your choice peace offerings. Away with your noisy hymns and praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Instead, I want to see a mighty flood of justice, an endless river of righteous living. I don't know about the rest of you, but the words of our Father sting as I read that, and knowing that I too sometimes am one of those hypocrites. Now, am I always? No. And perhaps whenever I have these messages where I'm a little insightful in my own life, that where I'm really kind of down and where I'm kind of like, wait, you're being way hard on yourself. Maybe. But I think there's a time for that. There's a time to be looking inward and being like, you're not going to fix, or you're not going to allow Christ to fix things that you're pretending aren't there. And I look at these words, away with your noisy hymns of praise. I will not listen to the music of your harps. Now, I know Jeremy well enough to know that this eats at him as well. He doesn't want to bring a worship to you that's out of something fake, because that's not pleasing. God doesn't want to hear it. And I think of it, if you're a parent in here, you might get this. My children can say whatever they want to me. You know, Nate is really good at when he's being bad and he's doing things and he knows he's getting to come up and play cute. It doesn't take away from that I know how disobedient he was being and that he's doing things really to spite me. And he's only coming over to play cute, to get back in my good graces. It doesn't impress me. I don't think it impresses God either. God wants to see a change in heart in me, just like I want to see a change in heart with Nate. I want to see him get it, to click in. Ooh. This is why. Jump ahead now. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 23. And we're going to be on page 845. And we're going to look at something else that's taught in the same realm. Because I need to see both sides. While I live under grace, and if you study Romans 1 through 11, it's really, you're going to learn a lot about grace. What grace is in your life. Again, there's a therefore. Since grace is true in my life, since God has offered me forgiveness of my sins, you know, I love that last song the worship team did. Because when I'm in these introspective times where I'm really not so pleased and I don't think God is so pleased with some of the things in my life, my answer is to lose myself in him. I just want to sing his praises. I want to lose myself in prayer because it's in him that I'm cleansed. I could go out and I could try to do better. But in reality, I just need to lose myself in him. And if not, I run into to what's happening here in verse 27. What sorrow awaits you, teachers of religious law, and you Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are all like whitewashed tombs, beautiful on the outside, but filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. This act of living in a worshipful manner, it's not an act. It's about changing the inside. It's being about being transformed from the inside. this whole point of God living within us is that he wants to change us from the inside out. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. I need to be transformed. I need to let go. I need to stop with the... Now, I talked about being a freight train, and I have this picture in my mind of what I do when I encounter Christ is put airbags around myself. So while I have the impact, I put something to absorb some of the shock of the impact. I don't think that's what Christ wants in my life. He wants all of it. And I'll admit it's a little radical. I'll admit it demands a lot of us. All of us, as a matter of fact. I'll admit most people don't want to go there. I'll admit I don't want to go there at times because I am afraid of what God will ask of me if I give him it all. But I don't know why that is. Because I look in my past and I see what he's done. And when I've given all of myself to him, all he's given us or given me is blessings and beautiful memories. And not just memories, but things that are living today. I had the opportunity Wednesday. I used to be a youth pastor. And I had the opportunity to meet with one of my former students, who's a great friend of mine. He's actually preaching someplace else this morning, which brings tremendous joy to me. Actually, he goes to Malone College, so accolades. So, but I met with him Wednesday night, and he too now wants to be a youth pastor. I'm not going to take all the credit for that. He has tremendous parents and has always been surrounded by some very strong people, but I thank God he does look at me and there's parts of the ministry that's building in his mind and his dreams that he wants to model after what we did together. And I look at that, and those are the things that God did when I released all of myself to him. He not only transformed me, he transformed the people around me. So as Mike and I sat and we drank coffee, we started to dream. We just dreamt of how big God is, what he wants to do. And here's where, you know, out of this pain that I feel right now as I realize there's some things that God wants to do in my life, out of that pain comes this life of dreaming big again, of wanting to transform. Because he doesn't want it to stop with me. My desire and my thing, my biggest heart is to see you and the people in my life encounter the real Christ, and then I want it to transform you. I want to be part of God working through me to renew your mind to the awesomeness it is to knowing our God, to living for him, to abandon the ways of the world so that we can adopt something that is so much greater than ourselves. You know, we can pretend everything is okay, but if you walk through our city, you know, it's freezing cold outside. And there's people living in that right now. It's not okay. There are hurts unspeakable going on in families right now. Things aren't okay. Christ wants to transform our communities. He wants to transform your family. And he's not gonna leave something small in it. He's gonna leave something big and something that will reproduce itself. You know, I thank God I'm part of Gateway. A community that wants to reproduce itself. You know, I have a lot of questions now still, though. I'll be honest. You know, Nexus, what's going on? We're not sure. You know, we've checked it all out. We've seen all the spaces we could see, and at the moment, there's nothing out there. But I thank God that we had the faith to put an offer in on a space. We had the faith of our community to stand behind us as a giant community and say, you know what, let's take this leap. Let's see what God has. It was bigger than ourselves. I don't think the majority of the community gets how much bigger than ourselves that was. And I'm proud to be part of a community that was willing to take that step. But at the moment, we don't know what's going to go on with it. You know, will Nexus happen in 2010, 2011? We have nothing that I know of on the radar right now to say yes or no. So where does that put Mickey in his spiritual act of worship, of cooking and using these abilities and combining his passions for church and for seeing God's kingdom magnified and his passions for cooking? That was the whole opportunity to meld them. That's not there. That tool's not there. So what do I do? I bet I'm not alone in asking the question of what does it look like for God to be magnified in my life right now. You know what God showed me? It was never about Nexus. You should be able to do it with or without cooking. It's so much deeper than that. So I really leave you today with more questions maybe than answers. But that's kind of the way the new year rolls, doesn't it? You have some big ambitions, but man, there's lots of questions. How's that going to happen? You know, want to know what? I ain't going to worry about it. I'm going to let God worry about how it happens. I'm just going to seek after him, and I'm going to go back to the place where I lose myself in him. So, you know, I need my growth group to do that. I need their input into my life. I need my friends to do it. I need people that maybe I have never even had lunch with before to say, you know what, Mickey, that's a journey that I'm on too. Man, let me know. Let's do it together. I don't want to do it alone. It means I got to return to prayer. So, you know, I'm not sure today was the, hey, big lesson. We really exegeted scripture. It's a, you know what, it's a new year, and I have new hope in Christ every day. So while I might screw up the rest of today after I walk out this door, because let's be honest, there's days that happens, man. We wake up and we got great ambitions, but then we fall flat on our face. God makes me pure constantly. Hour by hourly sometimes. But let's pick ourselves up, and tomorrow let's do it again. Let's aim for the best. Let's challenge God. How big is he? That's my goal for 2010. How big is God? If I turn all myself over to God and all my dreams and all my ambitions, how big is he? Can I dream as big as God is? That's my goal for 2010. How big is he? How deep can he transform me, and how many people can be transformed by my overflowing? Because really, that's what this worship thing is. It's overflowing. I said nothing can come out that isn't in. Well, when I'm so filled with God, it overflows. That's worship, and that's what's going to transform this community. We can't transform Cleveland unless we're willing to be transformed ourselves. Plain and simple. We're not willing to be filled completely with Christ to the point that we're overflowing. We will not impact Cleveland the way I think we want to impact Cleveland. Long story short, personally, and I think as a community, our disciplines need to match our passions. That's how we're transformed. That's the therefore. Since grace is true and Christ is true in our life, the therefore is this is what's going to happen. Go to Christ in prayer. As we pray, I hope you pray for me as I do this journey, because I'm going to pray for you right now that I'm not alone in the journey, that other people join me as we search more of Christ this year, as we seek to be transformers, not the funny robots, although they are cool. But we look to do more. Let's test God, not to see what God can do within Gateway community. God took a handful of people and change the world. What's he going to do with this amount? I'm fine. Don't get me wrong. I would love for God to build this community larger, but I'm more worried about what are we going to do to impact Cleveland? How big is God? How great of impact can we have in our communities? By the way, it's going to start with those closest to you. Your neighbors, your friends, your family, those you already spend time with. That's where it starts. It'll overflow from there. Father God, I'm humbled by you, by your size. You are so much larger than life. Lord, you created the galaxies. I'm humbled by why you created the cosmos and something that grand. Lord, you created the smallest thing on earth and paid attention to the smallest of detail. And you do that in my life as well. Lord, I'm humbled and overwhelmed and beyond words when it comes to your grace and your love in my life. I don't deserve it. I am not a clean vessel. I am a mess. But Lord, I vow to you I am not worried about the outside of my vessel to a point. But I'm more concerned about what's inside. Lord, transform me from the inside out. Transform our communities from the inside out. Transform my friends, my family here from the inside out. Lord, I pray that you're bigger than my words. I don't have to pray that, it's true. But Lord, that you show us how big you are. That when we lose ourselves in you, that you get to do something magnificent. Lord, that we get to stand back in awe, not at things you've done in the past, not just things written in Scripture, not just things we hear historically. We get to be awed in present day by the works you do. And I'm humbled and blown away that you choose to partner with us in that, that you invite us to join you in doing this. So Lord, I come before you and I bow and I ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry for not being enough. I'm sorry for not giving enough. And Lord, it's a journey and I get that and I'll truly, I don't know if I'll ever be enough for you. Actually, I know I'm not. But that's why I have to depend on you. I find my identity in you. I'm no longer Mickey D'Angelo. I'm a child of the living God. May I find all my hope, all my strength, and all my will in that truth, that I am a child of the living God. I'm saved by the grace found in the blood of Jesus Christ. Empower us. Equip us to live that out properly. It's in the most glorious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.